Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everybody?
What's up, everyone?
And, Internet Radio Land. It is Big Red and Brother B. The menu. What shall I say? The menu. What shall I say? The menu. With Big Red and Brother B on Blog Talk Radio. There we go. It's the menu. With Big Red and Brother B on Blog Talk Radio. What up, y'all? What's going on? How everybody doing? How you doing, Big Red?
I need to find me any anybody know anybody some cheap hotels I can go to for a weekend for the whole weekend. I need a break. I need a break. I just need a break. I need to just like disconnect from everything for just the weekend, just for 2 days. That's all I need.
So you gonna bring
maybe
the
three.
Cat with you? Are you gonna bring
the
cat with
no.
you or no?
No.
For sure?
This is going to be a disconnect from everything.
Even the cat.
Even that cat.
Oh, okay. Well, I was making sure. I was just saying.
You making sure.
Yeah. Nah, I get where you're coming from. You know what? Yeah. It's just interesting how, I don't know, is like as you get older or, you mature in life, you just start to see that the humans are more annoying. Or is it just that your tolerance, your level of tolerance just, starts to evaporate? I don't know which.
I think it's a little bit of both.
I'm going to go with that one. It's a little bit of both. I think, definitely a little bit of both. Because, sometimes people out here doing the dumbness that they really don't need to do. And I just wonder why they do it. But then again, it makes me crazy to wonder why.
I was listening to a singer, a R&B singer. I don't know if anybody would know who she is. Melanie Fiona. She's good singer, very good singer, but she's not as popular as the other ones. But people that know of her in this country. Yeah, right, yeah. So, I was listening to her today. She was, I follow on Instagram, and I was listening to something. Somebody must have been interviewing her. And she said something that kind of just, I say it all the time, but to hear somebody else say it, it's just like, wow. I'm glad somebody else get it besides me. It's like she was just basically saying that they was asking her, things that make her angry. So she said whatever little things that make her angry. And one of the things she said was ignorance. And she said she was just saying, racial ignorance, just ignorance of just life in general. And that's the main thing that when she said that, she said, you're being ignorant because you want to be. You can learn more. You can open your mind to learn more if you just open your mind and do that, but you're choosing to be ignorant. She said that's what makes her angry, when you choose to be ignorant. And she hit that right on the head.
Because you have some people that are just generally ignorant, and then they're just like, well, damn, I didn't know, my bad.
Right.
But then you have some people that are just like, they're ignorant and they know it, and they're proud of it. They're proud of their ignorance.
Right.
And those are definitely. I can't stand
that's
those people because they mean to be ignorant.
Yep.
And I don't, for the life of me, I don't know why. I mean, the fact that you acknowledge that you're ignorant and you choose not to do anything about it just shows the type of person that you are. Besides, you're ignorant, you're stagnant in your life. like no matter how many moves you think you're making, you're not going anywhere because you're ignorant, because you refuse to move forward from that. Like, you can't move anyplace else.
Right. Like, I'll give you an example. I'll make it kind of quick. I was coming home from work last night. Now, it's like 11:30 or something. Train is packed because there was only really one train that was working. Train was packed.
Yeah.
Young man was on the train, and he was with somebody else that he knew, I think. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, or one of the stops, some other young man gets on the train, I guess, that knows him or know of him or knew him. And all of a sudden, it was like a party on the train. He's yelling and, oh, my God, yo, it's so good to see you. Now, the young man must have been incarcerated maybe for a couple of years, maybe for a while. Okay, I get that. You see that person? You're happy to see him. I understand that. But not on a crowded, packed train, and he's loud, and he's moving around. Now, it's bad enough the train is rocking back and forth and moving, but then he's also moving around. So he must have bumped somebody, a young lady or a woman on the train. So, my bad, miss, my bad. So she must have gave him a look, or maybe she said something or whatever. Then he starts, you should have been looking where you're going. I'm saying to myself, is this boy mentally ill or something? I said, maybe he mentally ill or something. But throughout the whole train ride, from the time he got on to the time I got off, he's loud and, we going to party. And he telling the young man, F parole, we partying tonight. I said, Lord have mercy. I said, now he getting ready to get the sucker put back in jail while he going to be out here still being ignorant. See, that's what I'm saying when you're choosing to be ignorant.
Well, put it like this. You go party like this. like they ain't no tomorrow, because just in case, it might not be if he opens the cold parole officer. Damn that.
I was so disgusted because I was like, you sitting there hollering and yelling on the train, and I'm talking about he's hugging the guy and he like almost putting him in the headlock. And you want to cry,
really,
and I
happy.
Mean the train was packed.
He must be happy, really happy to see him.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, you happy to see you, homeboy, but you ain't got to do all of that, and then you get mad because somebody, you bumped against somebody, and then you get mad at the person. You're bumping into the person, not like they bumped into you.
And they probably wasn't looking at him because he bumped into him. They was probably looking at him because he was so loud.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's like,
exactly.
Yo, you sound stupid. But,
yes, and that's how some people were looking at him, looking at him and the young man, because they're like, well, why you want a train at this time? Like, why you want a train? Do you go until you get off the train? Go, you know, when you go upstairs or get on the street, you can do all of that.
Nah, he's got to see how to save it. He had to save it a moment. He had to save it a moment.
But
I mean,
that right there just was like,
Sometimes public transportation is just a little too public. I know that sounds crazy, but it's like,
No, it don't sound crazy.
It's certain things you just do not want to be, you just don't want to have to deal with. You don't want to have to deal with certain types of noise. You don't want to deal with certain types of, you know, attitude. It's a certain thing, you know, like, put like this. If you're about personal space, then public transportation is not for you.
Nope.
Because people will invade your personal space like pilgrims did, you know, the indigenous people.
Yes.
If you won't have any. So if you're about personal space, then you might as well just, like, forget about public transportation.
Right, get you a personal driver.
Get an Uber, get a skateboard, get something. But
right, exactly.
You know, like, and you know what's crazy? I was speaking with somebody one time, and I was somewhere, and somebody just, like, was getting mad close.
Mm-hmm.
But then the person said to me, they was like, well, listen, you got to look at it like this. Personal space may exist here in this country, but in other places, people don't really they may not believe in personal space.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see it as
mm-hmm.
that. They may see it as being next to somebody as something that's okay, or they don't really think nothing of it.
Right.
And I was like, you know what, that's true. It could be partially a culture thing besides
right.
You know, just how I feel about it, but it could be, you know, just people just don't
right,
really look at it like that, because I think this is one of the places where, or this country where there's a lot of people that just don't want to be next to people. You know what I'm saying? They just like, go listen, keep your distance. You know, and that's just that.
I get that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, yo, yeah, kid, keep your distance. Like, I need room. Like, I got to breathe. And I don't want to smell you. But
right, exactly.
I mean, I feel you on that. I'll fill you on that. So,
yeah, that's just,
you know,
sad situation.
Okay, what you gonna say?
No, yeah. It's just a sad situation.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, I was reminded today that, you know, it was a Super Bowl today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not like I care.
Yeah, I don't watch that mess.
you know, I didn't forget. I really stopped watching football a long time ago anyway, when it seemed like it became like they were more concerned about the money than the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that
but
turns me
all
off
about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it's not about the game or the sportsmanship of it, then, like, I mean, I can understand you want to be compensated. But when you put the money before the game, then it's not about the game. It's not about
right.
the game. It's not about the sport. You know, it seems to me about something else. But, you know, yeah, I didn't forget. I didn't forget the Kaepernicks. I didn't forget
mm-hmm,
the comments
absolutely.
That were made by some of these coaches. I didn't forget the attitude. I didn't forget what number 45 said. I didn't forget. And
mm-hmm.
I don't support the NFL. Some people do. Hey, you know, that's on you. God bless you. Everybody has their own thing. But me, no. I don't support any type of entity or a group of people that wish to tear down someone just to make themselves look better.
Absolutely.
Or to make, you know, try to make some type of political or, you know, economical point. I'm not with that
right.
at all.
Right. Yeah,
so,
it's basically about, just like you said, it's that's what it is. It's about the money. It's a money thing, because look at the fact that, like I said, they get paid. They are getting billions of dollars because they know they're going to get a lot of people watching it. All these people on Super Bowl party. My thing is, you're not having a Super Bowl party because you want to watch the game. A lot of these people are having these parties because they want free food, free liquor, and free booty. That's what they have in those parties for.
And they want a reason to, like, go out there and act stupid.
Right, act stupid or say, oh yeah, I had a party at my house. Like, it's just it's become like, it's just like Christmas and Thanksgiving and all these other, you know, things that. It's a money thing now. Now look at the commercials. These commercials are not even a commercial. They're 20 minutes long. Like, why is a commercial 20 minutes long during the Super Bowl?
Because
I don't understand. You're selling potato chips and you got to spend 20 minutes just to spend potato chips?
Because they know people. It's the interest. They know
right.
they know that people. A lot of people watch the commercials. And then some people just watch commercials and just don't want to watch the football game. I mean, listen, I mean, real talk, there's been some rumblings about how certain things may seem like they're fixed in the
mm-hmm.
NFL. And,
right.
You know, that's a turnoff to people. You know, the situation that with Kaepernick and a lot of the things that the owners said and stuff, some of the owners said and stuff like that, and the stance
mm-hmm.
that they took where they misconstrued Kaepernick's whole protest, that didn't go right with a lot of people, and it just left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you kind of, you know, everybody eventually reveals themselves, and they let themselves be known, like, what it's about, and for the most part, they made it seem like the NFL is a racist organization. So, I mean, you know, they need people now. They really need people.
Right.
Their ratings have been slipping.
Oh,
and they need
yeah.
I was actually watching something. I mean, I was looking at something, and I hope it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was, you know, I hate to use this term, but I have to use it. Maybe it was fake news. But, yo, was it Justin Timberlake using a hologram of Prince on stage?
You took the words right out of
no
my mouth. I was just about
way.
To discuss that.
No
first
way.
Of all,
no.
let me just go off a little bit about that. First off,
yes, please.
I'm going to say this.
Hold on, wait a minute. I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
Just let everybody know, once again, it's the menu with Big Red and Brother B. Big Red is about to go in, and I fully support her. guest caller number 347-324-3395. We are on Facebook. The menu, Mind Your Mental, on Facebook. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Let him rip.
Okay. First of all, let me explain something about Justin Timberlake. Now,
he was all right when he
was in NSYNC. Okay, whatever. But my thing is this, and I'm going to just say it like this. Don't try to be black when it's convenient for you.
Mm.
And that's what I have
you
to say
he,
about
you
this.
Think he's been trying to do that?
Oh, yeah. He does it when it's convenient for him. Because my thing is this. Your record sales ain't hitting like that. So guess what? When you want your record sales to hit, you start hitting up Timberland this one and that one to get that sound that you want. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's to get the sound and to get another market. I think his record sales, like, you know, the lighter shade of town, you know, they always like Justin Timberlake and they like NSYNC. So his sales are always going to be good with them. But I think he just wanted to get into another market. Tap another market, I should say, and he got into the black market, and he started working with, you know, black producers and putting out, you know, his, you know, music, working with Beyonce and stuff like that. So yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. I understand that, but then once again, when that incident happened with Janet Jackson, when you know certain things happen, he doesn't speak up.
I saw something on the front of the newspaper, and I really didn't read it because I didn't get a chance to. I was in the middle of doing something else. Well, I was actually in the middle of working. But I saw something on the front page of the newspaper, and it said something about the Jackson family still doesn't forgive him for what happened. And I'm like, okay, I know what happened, but did I miss something?
No, it was that same incident that happened at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago when it was supposedly the, clothing malfunction and her breast popped out. But the thing is, she got ridiculed for it. They didn't say anything to him about it. But then he supposedly apologized and they supposedly made amends about it. But why you wait until years later to make amends? You should have said something when that happened and defended her then. Because for one thing, at that time, she's a way bigger star than you are. You was just getting into it. So my thing is, like I said, I'm going to stand by what I said. Don't be black when it's convenient for you. Because guess what? When he makes all those movies, okay, he's playing roles that, you know, that are predominantly, you know, like preppy white boy type of roles. But then you come on our side. When you want them record sales, you come on our side. And you know that, like I said, you know the others are going to, you know, they're going to always buy his music. But then when you want them record sales to go skyrocketing, let me hit up Timberland, let me hit up this one, hit up that one to get my record sales. Now, secondly, I've heard it too about the Prince hologram. But I'm going to tell you this. That's going to make me dislike him even more if he does that. Leave people alone. Stop with the hologram. I don't want to see a hologram of nobody, not even Michael. I don't want to see a hologram of nobody. Don't do that.
Well, my thing is, I mean, his family would have had to have approved it.
Right.
You know what
I'm saying? I heard that the brother's like, that's not happening. His Prince's brother, I heard he was like, no, y'all not doing that.
Well, okay, my thing is, why would you do a hologram? Like, all right, I don't think he ever worked with Prince when he was alive.
Right.
So why are you trying to work with a hologram and he did?
Right, exactly.
Don't make sense to me.
Exactly. Just like when they did the one in Tupac.
Why you want to go on stage with a hologram?
Right.
I don't understand.
Like, don't do that. Like, leave people be. Let them rest in peace. Like I said, we all want to, you know, wish they were here. We want to, you know, have the legacy go on. But just, like, don't do that. Like, don't do things like that. Because that's just, that kind of creeps me out.
I think it's disrespectful.
Right,
you know,
and that, too. It's just a disrespect type thing as well.
And the whole thing is, what I find interesting is, now, correct me if I'm wrong, The only time that I know that they have done holograms, okay, they did Whitney Houston,
mm-hmm.
they did
Tupac,
and they talk about doing Prince. Like, that's it, if you get where I'm coming from.
Right, exactly.
Like, that's it. Like, you don't,
exactly.
you ain't do no, like, nobody did a hologram of Elvis.
Right.
Nobody did, from what I know, nobody did a hologram, you know,
But you know what's so funny?
Frank Sinatra.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Like,
you know what's so funny? I've seen something on, I've been seeing the commercial advertisement on TV for the last maybe, I'll say for the last month, and they actually have something where they're saying, telling people to, like, invest. It's a company that they want people to invest in that do the holograms. So they're like, oh, if you have an event or there's a big event coming up, oh, you know, we do shows with holograms, and I'm like, why are they doing, like,
right.
like now y'all profiting
because,
off of, like.
Well, you know what, this is just more, to me, this is just more of a thing where they're trying to just, like, distance humans from humans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they're just trying to really, you know, fracture. Like basically, you're just telling people, like, you're replaceable. Like,
right.
We can replace you with a hologram. We can
replace
you with a stick figure. Like, you know, you're not important. We can replace you with a robot.
Listen,
you
if
know.
That's the case, you know what? I want a hologram so I can stay home and have the hologram
work for me. Wait a minute. I think we spoke about this last week or the week before when we were talking about the sex robot. There's a movie that Bruce Willis did called Surrogate.
Yes, I like that.
And
too.
That movie, in that movie, the robot was out working and living and all this and that, and the person was probably at home with some type of ailment, or they were just old. So that younger version of them in robot form was just out, you know, living life.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of like, I guess they were channeled into it some way through, I don't know. I haven't seen the movie in a while, but that was basically kind
of
like the premise of the movie.
Electro thing. I like that. I like the movie. It's kind of that's kind of creepy too. Cause it's just like, and then the people, like the person with, like the person that was in place of the actual person. That person's perfect. Like they perfect. Hair's perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Face is
exactly.
Perfect. Yeah,
everything
like
about them is perfect.
Body is perfect.
But
they just perfect.
Yeah, but the other person could be at home, like, you know, overweight or,
yeah,
you know, could
yeah,
be disfigured
yeah.
or handicapped or something like
mm-hmm.
that. And yep. and I'm saying to myself, like, yo, Surrogates is coming.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
it's only, it's a matter, it's like, I'm sorry, matter of fact, they're probably already here. Really? probably
was the two that was on the
train. Yeah, exactly. You never know. Yo, you never know. That's why I'm just like, you know, I just sit back and I just look at some of this stuff and I had to shake my head because it really doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's bad enough that we can't really relate with each other, but now you have certain people, certain entities that are making it worse to where they don't want us communicating, they don't want us procreating, they don't want us basically just to interact with one another.
Mm-hmm.
On a humanity level, they want everyone to be at odds.
Right.
And
yeah.
I mean, it's sobering. It's sad. It's unfortunate. It's just downright, you know, ignorant that we're living in a time where it seems like it's okay to not be human. Like it's okay to not, you know, care. Like, it's okay
right.
to be disrespectful. It's okay to just be destructive. It's okay to be divisive. It's very much okay. And
right.
It's like you, as much as you would like to do something, you would like to call for change, you would like to, it's like, listen, you'll drive yourself crazy.
Will you?
You will drive yourself
will you?
Crazy. You know, it's like it's waking up from the matrix. All the things you see around you, like people want to eat the steak so much. When you tell them the steak is not real, they'll be ready to attack you instead of really just wondering, like, yo, is this steak really real?
Right.
No, they
yeah,
just rather
exactly.
said, no, I'm going to eat. No, I'm going to eat steak. Oh, I'm going to continue eating that steak. I don't care if it's real. I don't care if it's real or not. I'm going to eat the damn steak because it tastes good and it tastes better with sauce. They don't want to hear nothing
mm-hmm.
else.
Mm-hmm. Man, absolutely.
So,
unbelievable.
You know, yeah, it's crazy. I just hope that, like I said, no, I don't support the NFL. And,
no.
And at all. And, you know, sometimes I feel bad that I have to say that, but, I mean, the truth is the truth. It's my truth. And it's something that I choose not to do because, I mean, you can't keep spitting in somebody's face and then expect them to just keep, just wipe it off.
One right, and he's still not on anybody's team. Nobody's supporting him. And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, it's just, it doesn't make any sense.
You know what? He'll get support from, like, well, he's, you know, been getting support from players. But, you know, see, that's the thing with the media, and we'll get into that a little bit mm-hmm. later with the topic. But the media is going to make sure they only put a spin on what they want people to believe and what they want people to see.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, I don't care what anybody says. And I've heard it. Like, I've been around the block enough times, and I'm still going. On my tricycle, I'm still going around the block.
Oh, your tricycle?
yeah, I'd rather three wheels. I'd rather three wheels than two. So I prefer four. But for now, I'll just do with the three. But anyway, you know, and by the way, it's a grown-up size tricycle. It ain't no little kid joint. But anyway, I've been around the block a few times, and, you know, I've spoken with people. And, you know, for the most part, there are other people out there that agree that we are very, like, gullible, racist, you know, people. And when I say race, I don't mean in color. I'm just like the human race in general. Like, we're very gullible. Like, we're quick to believe what we see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instead of,
right.
you know, we don't use our senses. You know what I'm saying? I do believe we have six senses. I do. But people only just use the five, and that's that.
Right.
They don't really use their gut and think about certain things, so they rather just, you know, to make it easy, I'll just believe what's in the newspaper or what's on TV. And
right.
anything that they say, you know, people just seem to go with. So if nobody's really, you know, kneeling with Kaepernick, even though there were people that stayed, there were other players that started kneeling,
mm-hmm.
the media is not going to show that because they don't want to show that, wait a minute, what he's saying is, like, really – you know, people are really catching on. So, of course, they're going to have – they're going to shed the light on the detractors. They're going to shed the light on, you know, the people making negative comments and stuff like that. They're going to continue to do that because that's the media's narrative,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make things, you know, make things negative, you know, and feed people a BS story so they can get them on board to their agenda. You know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, he still doesn't have a job. Last I was reading and I was checking out something, you know, his pledge of $1 million, you know, he's getting close to that. But, of course, you know, nobody really wants to shed any light on that because they
right.
want to discredit
him. Yeah. I think I heard
him.
That. Yeah.
They want to discredit him because, you know, to them, Colin Kaepernick is the biggest problem ever because he
wow.
went against – he listen – He told the slave master, F you.
Yeah, yep.
That's, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly what he
that's
did.
That's how a lot of them see. Yeah, he told him, F you, and it's like, I'm not picking cotton today. I'm not doing what you want me to do.
Yep.
And this is his parliament.
Yep.
This is why they have the problem with him, and they will continue to have the problem with him, and they're going to make an example out of him.
Yeah, they're going to make an example. Right, absolutely. They're going to make
yeah.
it seem like,
and
oh, he's the troublemaker. He's the troubled
yeah, so
one.
This is, exactly. So if this is what you want to do, this is what you're going to get. You're not going to have a job anymore. And as a race of people, as black people, we should support him.
Mm-hmm,
because,
absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But the sad part is no one's really going to care until it happens to their kid or until it happens to their, you know, to their wife or their husband. Nobody really is going to get the message because, you know, Trayvon Martin wasn't their son.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because – you know, like Alton Sterling
Michael
wasn't
Brown.
Their father.
Yep.
You know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, Michael Brown wasn't their kid or
their
nephew
yep.
or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody really cares. Like, I just find it interesting how black people can continuously get spit, kicked, punched, and just want to keep on walking. Like nothing ever happened. That's why you keep getting kicked, spit, and punched, because you're not reacting to the situation. You know what I'm saying? And
turn
once
the
again,
other cheek. That's the thing it's supposed to be. Turn the other cheek. Oh, no. Don't let them be. No, but somebody got to stand up sometime.
Yeah, exactly.
You
got to
stand up for something and say, you know what, this enough is enough.
Exactly. And sometimes it's just not about the color issue. It's just about the it's just me as an individual. Because, you know what I'm saying, I may look black, but it doesn't mean that I'm about black. I'm about all of us. But see, once again, someone always wants to come with the labels and come with the titles and say, oh, you're this and you're that, so we have to classify you as this, that, and, you know, other things. It to me, it's stupid. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yep.
But once again, y'all, the menu on Blog Talk Radio is Big Red and Brother B. Guest calling number is 347-324-3395. That is 347-324-3395. And once again, we are on Facebook. The menu page, the menu, Mind Your Mental, MindURMENTAL, on Facebook. So let's get into our topic, the Trump Chronicles. The Trump Chronicles. Now, I promised a you know, an old school friend of mine, by the name of Armstrong Santiago. What up, brother? Hope all is well with you and your family. He's probably watching the game right now. So I promised him, because, you know, I guess he wanted to maybe chime in. But he, you know, he wanted to watch the game. It's all good. So I told him I would be very objective. And I'm going to be very objective when it comes down to this topic. Because I can say what I want to say about number 45, but in all honesty, I don't know him. I don't know who he is. I don't know him personally to say certain things. All I know and hear about is and read about from the media is just the propaganda and, you know, all the rhetoric and, you know, just the certain ignorant things that come out of his mouth.
Right.
So with that being said, I have to ask you, Red, what do you think about number 45's job performance so far?
Well, his job performance is horrible. I'm going to just say it like that. It's horrible because I don't feel that he's for the people or for the United States. I think he's doing this for himself. I think he just thinks about himself when he makes any type of decision. And I think his staff knows that he thinks only of himself. So I don't think his job performance is good. It's horrible. He needs impeachment. But I know that takes time. But to me, it seems like nobody else is seeing that he's doing a horrible job. I don't know, you know, maybe does anybody else see it? Is it just us or just certain people?
All right. Now, once again, I said I was going to be objective, and I'm going to lay down some real feeling on this. Okay. First of all, I don't give two shits, actually. I really don't. I really, really don't. I don't think he should be impeached.
Okay.
The reason why I don't think he should be impeached is because what has he's the ideal of America. He is what America is. And first of all, he's not a politician. One thing, he never came in here and said that he was a politician, and I don't think he ever really said he was going to do right by the American people or whatever. And if he did, well, that was probably bullshit. I think that he is doing exactly for himself. But once again, he's a businessman.
Right.
He's not a politician. See, he came in the door saying, you know, he's a businessman. He is not a politician.
So then why run?
Because he's a businessman, not a politician. He didn't run under the guise of him being a politician. He just felt like, listen, America's a corporation. It's a business. It needs to be fixed. And he saw some way to get money out of the deal.
But my thing is, he's not fixing it. How can he say he's going to fix
it?
He's
not fixing it for us. He's not fixing it for us. What businessman goes into business thinking about the people and not about himself?
True. You're right. You're absolutely right.
That's the whole thing. He never said he was a politician. And I heard people that voted for him, yeah, I'm tired of these politicians and these damn politicians, and they say this and they say that and this and that. And now we got somebody. Well, now you got what you wanted. You got somebody who's not a politician, that's not thinking politics, and he's not thinking about you.
Right.
So why should he be impeached? He hasn't done anything that he's either not known for doing, or he didn't do anything that was unpolitician like. Because once again, he's not a politician. He does business. He may not now listen. Whether he does clean or dirty business, that's on somebody else to look at, or to view, or to judge, or whatever. But
right.
He didn't deceive the people and come in, you know, under, once again, well, I'm a politician and I'm going to fight for you and this, that. No. He came in there and said exactly what he wanted, what people wanted to hear. Oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to take back America and blah, 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 blah. And we're going to show these people and anybody's at my thing protesting, we're going to punch him in the mouth and just that and the third. See, he didn't say, oh, go out there and punch black people. When he was at that college in Long Island, he didn't say, oh, go out there and rough black people up. What he said was, oh, if they give you a hard time, hey, hit their head on the hood of the car or something like that as you're putting them in. He didn't specify. But see, the thing is, he didn't specify who to do it to. But if you're a guilty party, then that means you'll take offense. And I believe a lot of black people took offense because, I mean, hey, the relationship between law enforcement and black folk have not been the best ever.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, with that being said, I think they took more of an offense because he felt like it was a jab at him because they wanted to call him a racist. They wanted to label him. They want to hate him.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there that
want to hate
him.
I don't think he's a racist. Yeah, that I really don't think he is. And I've been... It took me some time, not to cut you off, but it took me some time to really register that with myself. I said, I don't really think that he's a racist. He's just saying what the others want to hear, so he can keep that vote. He can keep that, just like you said, that business going with him.
But at the same time, do you really think now? I mean, listen, even his shithole country remark.
Mm-hmm.
People took it. Oh, he said it at Brown. Okay, yeah. I mean, I got a little offended about that too. But once again, I had a conversation with somebody else, and they felt that I was agreeing with what he was saying. I didn't agree with what he said about, shithole countries. My thing was, Haiti, to him, from his standpoint,
mm-hmm.
Haiti has nothing to offer me. Like,
mm-hmm.
just to take a step out of your shoes and go into his shoes. So, of course, he would be dismissive to Haiti. Of course, he would just be dismissive to El Salvador. Of course he would be dismissive to African countries, you know, or the whole continent, because they have nothing to offer him in terms of business.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But real business, like what? You put up a hotel over there, so what? Like, they really have nothing to offer me. So it's like I can't get anything from them. Listen, I believe he believe any place that's a shithole, because if I can't get nothing from you, then you're a shithole. You're a shithole country, you're a shithole whatever.
Okay.
He just happened to point it at that. I feel he pointed at that directly because,
but see,
I mean, that may have been part of the conversation.
Right, but
that
could
have been part
thing.
Of the conversation.
Why? But that's my thing. Why would you know? It's like a trigger word. Like, you know that you're going to say that and it's going to trigger certain people, why couldn't you say Russia was a shithole country? Because I'm sure they got shitholes. Cities someplace in Russia.
No, because, you know, listen, it's obvious that him and Russia has a relationship. It's obvious that
right.
him and Russia
okay.
has a relationship. And
okay.
But my thing is this, if him and Russia has a relationship, then it is what it is. Because my thing is, I remember some years ago where you had non-colored people. Oh, the communist bastards and these Ruskies and this, that. They say, I would hear people say all types of stuff under the sun, and I'm like, wow. Like, I've never been to Russia to know anything about Russia. You just
right,
look at
okay.
the media and see what the media says. I happen to know some Russian people, and I'll be honest with you. They're some of the realists. They'll tell you real quick to your face how it is, how it should be, and how they like it. With a drink on the side. I don't have any problem with the Russians that I know. They cool as shit. I got love for them. To other people, they may feel or see things differently.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this whole collusion and all this stuff that people are trying to, but listen, I can't really get into that. Like I said, to a degree, I don't give two shits because it doesn't really disrupt my upper or lower line, or even middle. I just can't. Now, if you had somebody interfere in the election, see, that's different. Because it don't matter what background or what country they're from. If you have an outside entity interfering in something that's our business, then, yeah, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, he's not a politician. He's a businessman.
Right,
and
okay.
For the past year and some change, as much as people want to say that Obama didn't do anything, I remember when David Dinkins, before he left office, there was a lot of things that he was trying to put into motion.
Oh, yeah.
And who came in and took the credit for that?
Mm.
Giuliani.
Giuliani? Oh, yeah, Giuliani.
When everything started to come through, who took the credit for it?
Yeah.
Giuliani. A lot of things, and they won't talk about that because nobody wants to say the black man started it. And this is where it comes down to color because, no, you know, there are people out there who really have this attitude and this issue with, like, a black person doing something right because they don't want to believe that a black person does something right. They always want to believe in the negative stereotype. They want to go with the fact that black people are thieves, they're rappers, they're NBA players, they're footballs. They don't do
that's
anything.
That's all they know how to do. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. They don't get. They shoot. They murder. They rapists. They don't do anything that's productive to our society. They don't do anything. Meanwhile, you had someone that wasn't black shooting from a Las Vegas window at a country, at a bunch of people at a country music concert.
Right.
From Timothy McVeigh to the Boston Bomber. None of these were black people.
Black people,
you portray
right.
it how you want to. Yeah, you want to portray it. You portray it how you want to portray it. It's all good. I don't, like I said, I'm not here to argue with anybody about that. Because, once again, that word ignorance, you know the truth, but you just choose not to acknowledge it. That's on
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. That's
so,
the whole thing in a nutshell there.
So there were some things that Obama tried to put in place. I mean, I remember everybody wanted to get mad about the whole Affordable Health Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. So my thing is, you're trying to tell me someone who's trying to create a system where everybody would have some type of health care. Even though we know that the Republicans, every time Obama tried to do something, the Republicans were right there to be like, no.
Yep,
you're
can't
not gonna
do
that.
No,
you can't do that. And the thing is, a lot of them came out and admitted it right before or while Trump was coming in, and people are still like, oh, no, that's a lie. You know what? Everything's a lie. Everything's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie that Santa Claus doesn't exist. No, he does. Him and the Easter Bunny are chilling on vacation right now. That's a lie to say they don't exist. They do exist, okay? They're here.
It's like the Eminem.
The Eminem gang is in the freezer. Yeah,
yep.
they're in the freezer right now. Everything's a lie. So when somebody tells you the truth, it's a lie. When somebody lies, it's the truth. So it's backwards. It's all backwards.
Ass backwards, I'll tell you. Sure is.
Now, with Trump, once again, Trump never said he was a politician. I firmly believe that he's coming to get what he needs to get, fatten his pocket, make his business deals. And listen, it's a huge business move. It's a huge business move. And to be honest, and I'm going to be straight up, it's a smart business move. Listen.
Yeah, it's a smart business
really?
Move, but we're paying for it. Like, we're paying for that. It's like, once again, it's like being them human, like a human guinea pig. It's like the people are paying for that. And I'm not just talking about, like, you know, people of color. I'm saying everyone is paying for it, except for the people that are benefiting off of it.
So what? But wait a minute.
You're right. That's business. You're right.
Business ain't fair.
No,
once again,
it's not.
Business, the big difference between, one of the big differences between business and politics is that politics, okay, I got to look out for you. I got to say something. I got to support the people. In business, no, I support myself.
You all for yourself, yeah. Yep.
You know what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying? So I don't have to do anything for you. I can maybe do a little something for you, but it's for myself first. It's all about personal interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what do you think?
But that's just like, okay, why does he have to try? Okay, my thing is this. And why do you have to try and tear everything down that Obama did? Now, that's where it makes it look like it's a racial thing. Just like you said, it's a business thing. But see, this is where it looks like a racial thing. And you think about it. Now, if Obama was white, would he have tried to do the same thing? Or would it look the same way? If he said, well, you know, everything, this Obamacare, we're going to try to get rid of, or whatever he put in place, we're going to try to get rid of if Obama was white. Would it look the same way? But see, because he, Obama was black, it looks, that's where the race thing comes in at. Even though, and just like you said, but it's I guess he's looking at it, 45 is looking at it as a business type of thing.
Well, when it comes down to the whole thing with Obama, I believe there are certain people who wanted him to, hey, you're going to take care of this. Like, I believe he's a puppet. I believe that he was, you know, brought in. I mean, the Republicans really didn't have anybody else. And it just seemed like nobody really wanted to do the job. So I think the Republicans are just using him, or using his rhetoric and propaganda to, of course, attain what they want. Listen, it goes back to the divide and conquer scenario. You divide the people and you conquer them. You keep them divided and you conquer them. And who has been more divisive in this than him? Now, when Obama came in, people divided themselves because Because then you had, when he came in, black people was like, oh, Well, yes, we have our champion. Then you have white people sitting back like, well, damn, we about to be put in chains. It's like we put them in chains. And then you had other people who were just like, oh no, you know, we got a Negro is in the house. Like, oh shit. Like everybody had their own opinions. Because they're so used to, you know, a white man running the situation, everybody had their difference in opinion. Now, when he didn't, when Obama didn't do, like, okay, I'm going to give every black person a free, you know, pass on this. I'm going to release, you know, Pookie and the rest of them from prison. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And we're going to smack down the white man and we're going to do this and we're going to put these people over here. When he didn't do that, you had some black people that was like, wait a minute. Oh, he ain't the brother for us. He ain't thinking about us. Well, he ain't supposed to think about us. He's supposed to think about everyone.
Right.
But once again, that's our ignorance or some of my people's own ignorance, because they seem to think that he was supposed to just come in, give everybody a box of Newports and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, some Dave Chappelle type scenario.
Right,
oh,
that
yeah,
type
yeah,
of
reparations,
yeah, right?
Reparations
barbecue
and
on
Newports
and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Give everybody
that's,
40 acres
that's
of
That's going
meal.
Back
no.
to what I said earlier, the ignorance.
Yeah, exactly. So some of our people got mad with him, and the other people got mad with him because they, you know, they felt that he wasn't working in our best interest. And at the same time, I'm sure there were things that he was trying to do. And once again, the Republicans were like, nope, you're not going to do that, nope. Because once again, they don't want the face of change to be black, because then somebody will sit back and say, well, wait a minute. Why does it take a minority to really get some things done? But then white man get up in office and it ain't nothing but war, famine, and disease. Like, what the hell is the problem?
Right.
They don't want to be looked at it like that. So that's why they had to spin it.
Mm-hmm.
Now Trump comes in. In comes Trump. Now the circus begins. Because Trump's whole thing was like, yo, I'm going in there. I'm like, yo, I'm going to do what I got to do. Once again, he's business. He's not thinking about black, white. He's not, listen, he ain't thinking about, he's already proved. So when the people want to call him a racist, I believe I've called him a racist at one time. But like I said, I've always had my thing.
It took me some time.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Nah, he's just a bigot. But he just don't care. Because everybody that he promised something to, them people sitting back saying, hey, just like the coal miners, what they get?
Yep.
They ain't getting nothing.
There's nothing.
No job. He promised, listen, he promised everybody a gift under the Christmas tree.
Yep.
Well,
he got under
in
that
office,
Christmas tree a box of coal.
Yep. Yeah, a box of coal. And then he turned around and burnt the tree down. No,
yep.
Man, that's what he did. So, once again, he's business, and a businessman doesn't care about you. Most businesses don't care about their employees.
Nope.
They just care about their profit and loss.
Right, getting their profit up there.
Yeah, exactly. So him undoing a lot of things that Obama did was because they weren't conducive to that 1%. They weren't conducive to the rich people. They were, you know what I'm saying? Some of the things, these tax cuts and stuff Obama had put in play weren't good for them. So changes had to be made.
Right. Right, because he got to look, well, he's looking out for himself, but then he's also looking out for the other businessmen that he deals with. The other businessmen.
Exactly. Exactly. And the Republicans are sitting back happy because they're getting what they want.
Right.
He's leading the charge, and they're sitting back and they're profiting off of it. Listen, and like I said, it's not personal. It's business. It's not politics. It's business. And the business is not personal.
Right,
it's
because
business.
He even runs the staff as a business after all the people that he didn't fire. He's fired, like his show. You're fired. Like, you know, he's firing everybody, somebody every month. So they're probably sitting around on pins and needles, like, am I next? Am I next? Am I next?
Because, see, the whole thing is, I don't think there's a lot of people. Now, I mean, unless the media is not really shining too much light on this, the whole thing is, I don't think there's a lot of people out there that really care about him and Russia. But the FBI and the Justice Department actually can make a case to get him kicked out of office. Because as I was listening to something, and all of this started with Nixon, where they had to put certain things in play to make sure, like, what went down with Nixon or corruption and stuff like that, yeah, they don't want it to happen again. So there's a lot of things they put in place. Now, you know, you have a president currently who's trying to discredit the FBI and the Justice Department. Now, what I find interesting is the fact that no one is really saying anything. They're good with the fact that he's discrediting the FBI, and some people seem like they're good with the fact that he's discrediting the Justice Department. So that means you, once again, it goes back to that word you said. What'd you say? Ignorance?
Ignorance.
When you allow checks and balances, like the thing that they put in there to just, you know, the watchdogs, when you take the teeth out of the watchdog, what are you saying? Like, you're just letting corruption and the whole ideal of it do what it wants to do.
Right.
Like, come on, man.
Nope.
What was it? I think it was like 30 days within 30 days or 60 days of when he was, you know, in office. You had a Russian submarine that was 90 miles off the coast of Delaware. When have you ever heard of that? I've never heard a Russian submarine being that close. I've never heard of it. I could be wrong, but I've never heard of it. But the whole thing is, listen, once again, it's business. It ain't nothing personal.
Right.
It's business.
But let me ask a question. Now,
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, real quick, like Putin. Putin seems like he's about business. So you have Trump and you have Putin, two people that are about, like, I don't care about the people. I care about I care about what I care about, and that's that.
Yep.
Putin seems like he's straight up gangster. It's like, yo, either you do this or, yo, something going to happen to you.
Right.
And you, next time you go to McDonald's, you better hope it's really a cheeseburger. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like,
you better hope that's some chicken nuggets.
Yeah, you better hope those are nuggets. And watch your sauce. But, yo, he seems like he's just about business. But he also seems like he's concerned about building his country up. He seems like he is about Russia. He is about his people. His people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, am I going to get mad at that? No, because I'd be concerned about my people. I'm concerned about everybody. But at the same time, when certain things happen, I got to be concerned about my people.
About my people, yep.
So I'm not. I can't sit there and say that I'm mad at him. But once again, business. It's nothing personal. So if they are running together, they're running together. The only thing is that the Justice Department and other entities have a problem with is the fact that did Russia influence this? Did Russia do this? Did Russia do that? And it seems like anybody on Trump's side that has something to say against Trump about it, they're fired.
Right. Okay. Right. Right. That's how that goes. But
like Trump, like the FBI said, the FBI and the Justice Department said, yo, you should not put this memo out. He did it anyway. They changed it a little. I believe they did change. I think they did some altering to it. Let's not say change. They altered it, and they put it out. But, yo, I mean, once again, now he's not. It's not just fake news. Now we got fake FBI and fake Justice Department. Like, everybody gonna be fake soon.
Everybody. Gonna be fake.
Yeah,
but what about okay?
Everybody gonna be a $2 bill.
Right. So what about okay? So I've heard that he got North Korea and South Korea together, like those two together?
You know what?
I heard that, and I don't know how he got them together. Didn't he just have beef with Shorty, like, not the one? Didn't he just have beef with him? And now
he got together,
but it's like, didn't you just have beef with him like a couple of like months back? So my missile is bigger than your missile and all that stuff. So like,
listen, you know what? This is the best way I can put it. Remember how years ago, like whoever used to watch wrestling, whether it was GLOW or whether it was WWF, like we swore up and down that these cats were jumping in the ring and beating each other up, and it, like the beef was real. Like we could have sworn, you couldn't tell me that the beef between Hulk Hogan and
Macho Man
Randy Piper, you couldn't tell me that the beef wasn't real between Hulk Hogan and Piper. You couldn't tell me it was real. But
right.
Then, as we got older, we started to, I said, wait a minute. Wrestling is not real. Like, this is, everybody sits down and has, like, tea and bagels after this.
Right.
Like, everybody goes and works out together. Like, wait a minute.
Right.
I think these are sworn enemies.
They go have a beer.
So, when you say what you say about North Korea and Trump, it's like WWF. I think everybody's just talking what some people want to hear. Like, oh, yeah, Hulk Hogan's going, the Hulkamania is on the run, wow. And then, oh, Macho Man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all fake beef. Like, I think that, like, just like he called it fake news, I think it's fake beef because you
fake
know
beef.
What? Everybody, at the start, end of the day, it's all about profit. It's all about making things better along your economic line.
Mm-hmm.
So, even though I may not really like you, all right, this is the best way I could, one of the best ways I can put it. You have two drug dealers. They want a certain block because they know that, you know what I'm saying? Whether it's who, everybody can probably understand this because they probably seen it in some type of movie, The Wire or something. You got two drug dealers. They know that this corner right here is real hot. Everybody wants, you know, stake in it. So instead of killing each other for the property, what do? They share it. You can go on it on this time, and I can have it on this time. Or we can, you know what I'm saying, we can both pump our product there, you know, and we'll see how things go from there. You know, and that's just that.
That's crazy.
Or if somebody owns that corner, it's like, yo, okay, you can come in on the corner. And you can sell, but you got to pay me a fee for selling on my corner. See,
okay.
I may not like
you.
I may not like you, but if you're talking about something that's interesting, like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, you want to pay me to push your product on my... Well, that's business.
All right.
You see what I'm saying?
Nah,
you're
right.
That's business. It's not about the people. It's not about the people because, you know what, guess what? Everything, product is still being moved. People are still getting paid. Things are still moving in the upward financial direction. So why should I beef with you if I know that I can get more out of, you know, doing this business transaction than going to war? You see what I'm saying?
But then, once again, yeah, right, and I get it. But then, like I said, once again, who is paying, like, what is the cost of this? Like, okay, you're getting what you're getting out of it. I'm talking about 45. Okay, you're getting what you're getting out of it. Shorty's getting what he's getting out of it. But that's what I'm saying. Like, who's, like, the people have to pay, people are paying for this. People are paying with their lives or paying, or going to pay with their lives with this. Because, once again, we're not talking about, like a piece of cake, like, oh, okay, somebody's going to get a piece of cake or a prize. We're talking about lives here, just like you gave the scenario with the drug dealing. People play with their lives. Either they buy the drugs and they die from the drug, or there's a turf war, you know, some type of war that's going to go on, and somebody's going to be caught in the middle of it. It's like, why does it have to be like that? That people have to pay. And then once again, like I said, when them two were having the beef, you're getting people in an uproar. People are getting scared. Which I know it's all a game. I know that.
WWF.
Right, it's all the game. You're getting people in an uproar. You're getting people scared. And like I said, some people's mental capacity can't handle that, so you're getting people scared.
Don't watch the news.
Then if you don't watch the news, then guess what? And you hear something, and you're like, what the hell is that? You just like, you hear something, what the hell is that?
Listen. I get where you're coming from, but once again, politics is one thing. Business is another, and business is totally a different beast. It's even worse because, you know, somebody going to get their ass kicked when it comes down to business because somebody that no one wants to lose. No one wants to lose.
Right.
So I don't think, like, I'm not worried. Listen, why would Trump want to come in and start a war?
You said
it's
why?
It's not good for business. Yeah, why?
You
it's
know
not
why?
Good for business. It's not
right,
good for
you're
business.
Right. But I think he would do it because he wants to be the one to say, I did this. That's how cocky he is. Even though you're saying it's not good for business, but I think the way that he thinks, he's thinking on the lines of, I want to be the one to say, I did this. I want to go down in history as the one, I did this.
Yeah, but see, now, he goes down, if he does it, it has to be for a damn good reason. Because once again, if he doesn't gain anything from it, what's the purpose of doing it? Strategically, if I know that you're weak, what's the purpose on moving on you if I know that you're a weak country?
Mm-hmm.
I might as well do something and try to capitalize off of that.
Okay.
So either you can be my ally and get, you know, get a little something out of the deal, but you're going to have to sacrifice X, Y, and Z. Like, yeah, you're going to have to give up this. You're going to have to give up this. You're going to have to stop doing that. But, yeah, I mean, you can get down with the program because I know you're weak. I know you don't have no army. I know you don't have this. I know you don't have that. So there's certain things I can do for you, but this is what you got to give to me. That's business. That's what he would call the art of the deal.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? There's no purpose in me trying to crush it. Now if you got another, if you got a superpower, oh, I got nukes, you got nukes. What's the purpose of us popping off these nukes when we can sit back and get this money or get this business or get this trade going and, you know, we all profit and we all look good?
Okay.
Because I'm sure... The leader of North Korea wants to look to start to clean up his image to certain people, and Trump
wants to clean
up his image too. So once again, it's not about the politics; it's about the business. And as long as he brings about some type, now look, you got people that are happy about getting a little bit of extra money in their check because of the tax cut. You got people that are like, yeah, Trump's the man. All right, Trump got you a little $40, $50 extra in your check. Okay. But, you know, some people could be like, yo, that extra $40, $50, that's groceries, that's MetroCard money, that's gas money. It's something. Some people take it as a positive. Some people look at it for what it is. It's like, yeah, something coming on the other end.
Mm-hmm. We
like,
pay
this
for
is gonna come
with some out.
Yeah, look,
yeah,
yeah,
but that's
exactly.
How that's how he makes it feel. Like, all right, you doing this, but guess what? What do I have to pay? Like, how am I going to pay? At what cost is this going to cost me this little $40, $50?
You're going to find out. But
yeah,
not right
I
now.
Know. Yeah, I know.
it's a secret. But you're not going to find that out right now. It's not time for you to find that out. All you know is, you know what I'm saying? Take that little extra money, go get you a bottle, go chill, relax, you know what I'm saying?
Get,
do whatever you do, get you a bag, you know, whether it's green or white. You go do what you got to do and live your life. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's it.
You said what is Greedo?
Yeah, whatever you do, whether you know, leaves or powder, live your life. You know what I'm saying? That's because it's like, yo, it's my thing is, when it boils down to it, we already know he's a con man. We already know he's a charlatan. We knew that when he was going into office. We already knew that. So, with that being said, once again, what are we really expecting here? I mean, me personally, yeah, I think he's an Antichrist? Yeah, I think he is. Like, I think he's just divided people so much with the things that he say, because he doesn't know how to speak. He's not a public speaker.
Oh, no. Oof.
He never has been. He never has been, and he never will be.
I can't. And it's like, I know he went to some type of school. He could have took public speaking in school. I took that, but it's like I can't take listening to him. Like, my mom, your aunt, may she rest in peace, but she couldn't stand listening to, which Bush was it? I don't know, that the junior Bush. She couldn't stand listening to him. She said, I can't stand this.
But you know what?
And that's how I feel about 45. I can't take listening to him.
Well, you know what? All right. George Bush Jr. Of course, he had a script writer. But you know what it was? What I think it was that bothered a lot of people is the way he said things. It was his arrogance of the way he said it. Like, he had his chest stuck out, and he was like, you know, this, while he was reading the speech. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just a confidence.
Like Kevin Hart.
Exuded.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Yeah, say it with your chest. And you know what? Listen, I'm not going to lie. Remember when the dude threw the shoe at him? Yo, the way he dipped. Yo, he did it with savvy. And he came back up with a little.
Yes, he did. Yo, he did like his mama was throwing shoes at him back.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he had practice. Like, his wife just threw one last night. You know what I'm saying? Like, his wife just threw one last night. Yo,
right?
He dipped, but then he came back up with his chest out. Like, yeah, like, yo, like, that's a real cowboy right there. Like, don't mess with Texas. George Bush is Texas.
That was hilarious with that shoe thing, boy.
But yo, when you look back at it in hindsight, it was funny, but yo, it was real.
Right.
Yeah, so
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He was, you know, I mean, he wasn't the best. He had his issues. They all have their issues. But you know, you gotta pick your poison.
Mm-hmm.
Now in this situation, once again, we don't have a politician. We have a businessman.
Businessman.
He's coming in to do exactly what he does, and that's business. He's not coming here fighting for your rights. He's not fighting for anybody's damn rights, except for the rights of money. To get paid and get his people paid, make some business deals, and he's like, all right, I'm out.
Yep. That's tag
green. When he's done, he's probably going somewhere along the line, maybe 2 or 3 years after he leaves the office, a book is going to come out and be like, and it's probably going to be like The Ultimate Hustle. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem. Like, yo, you can't get bigger than that. Right now, he's on top of his game. He's the president of the United States.
That was The Ultimate Hustle right there.
What? He became
American Hustle.
He just like Obama showed brown people or people of other ethnicities, yeah, I get it. You can do it too. It's going to be hard work, but I can do it. Trump came in and said, well, I didn't think I was going to be able to, but I did it. Like, yo,
yeah,
I'm not a
true
politician, but I pulled it off.
I'm here. I got there.
And now, once again, his attitude. And I can't say that I blame him. If you're thinking on this a level of business, How could I make this work for me and my constituents? How could I make this work for us? Because once again, it's not about you. Everybody, he's the owner and chairman of the company of America, the country. He runs it. So everybody else is just workers. So you workers get what you get. That's just that. I'm not doing anything special for you workers. You workers get what you get.
Yep.
And that goes from black to white to yellow to whatever. Color don't matter.
Now, the only color that matters is green.
That's it.
Yep.
That's the
only color that matters is that green.
He will leave here. He will leave office wealthier. Like his grandkids. Like the money. The wealth.
That money rolling
endless.
Over. Mm-hmm.
Like at least 50 times over.
Yep.
Because once again, he may have, listen, some people say, oh, yeah, he went bankrupt a few times and all this and that. Listen, he has too much at his disposal now.
Yep, exactly. Nope.
And he won't let that happen again. Yeah, and
if
debt is left, all right, it's left to the next president. Let them take care of it. But for now, I got to hustle and get what I need to get because, once again, business is business.
But do you think he would do another 4 years if he gets the votes again? You think he'll do another 4 years, or he'd be like, I'm out. This is all I want to do with the 4 years and that's it.
And to be honest with you, I mean, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
and that's just my opinion, I think he just want to do 4 years and capitalize off of that because you know what? 8 years would be too much exposure.
Okay.
It's like a get rich quick scheme. Get in for you. By the time you realize that I'm screwing you, I'm on my last year and I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
I made what I need to make and I'm out.
Okay.
That's the hustle mentality. You don't need people to realize. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's the person that's hustling people. Once you start to realize, then people won't realize it. Like this whole tax thing. I think when we file taxes next year, then I think we might see some little like, oh shit, like whoa.
Yeah, like what?
Since when I owe? Like whoa, I owe?
Yeah.
What do you mean I owe? Mm-hmm. Somewhere along the line, you're not going to get back as much money because you already got your little kickback throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time people start realizing that this dude sold them, you know, a pipe dream, he already made $1 billion over, and he's like, yo, all right, let somebody else take the seat. I'm done.
Yeah.
I do what I need to do.
I think that too. I really don't think he would do another 4 years. I think he's just going to do this four, and then he's going to be out.
Yeah, and listen, whether he does, put like this, in these 4 years, if I was him, not only would I try to make as much money as possible, but I'm going to make as many business allies as possible. I'm going to make sure that as much is going on from oil to natural resources to whatever, I'm going to make sure the Trump name is on it. I'm going to put Trump on your drawers. I'm going to make sure the Trump name is everywhere. I'm going to have my hand in everything because I'm going to make sure that my kids is getting. Like, there's going to be money all over the place. And then
right.
Putin, his mind is the same way. I'm going to make sure that Russia starts to build up the right way. My people and the people that are down with me are going to be built up the right way. We're going to get this party started. And I'm going to make sure there's a mini Russia every damn where. And I'm going to make sure, like my country is coming back economically and, you know, and financially good. But once again, these are not politicians. These are businessmen.
Listen.
What do
mm-hmm.
you expect? You voted for businessmen. Businessmen are going to do what they do, and that's business.
Yep. That's why he said. That's why he said the things that he said because he wanted to get that vote in so he could get in there and do his business.
Exactly.
And all you know, all the people that voted for him, all they was thinking about is, oh, you heard what he said? You know what? He said, let's make America great again. Oh, he said this. Oh, he said that. And once again, the people that voted for him, you twisted that up in your mind. That wasn't his intention. He just wanted to get that vote.
Listen, I wouldn't be surprised if Trump, before all of this rhetoric started, I wouldn't be surprised if Trump was sitting down having a conversation with somebody saying, you know, I want to make America great again for me. Wait a minute. Somebody said, hey, just cut that last part off for me. Just put, let's make America great again. And just left the for me off, you know?
Right.
Like, I really think that's how it started, because it's not about everybody. Listen, my thing is this. If you about getting your money, Trump is like, yo, get your money. But if you ain't about business, then you're going to get shitted on.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not on his level. While everybody else is thinking humanitarian, once again, he's thinking business. You come at him on some business dealings, then he's listening. If you come at him on, oh, well, we got to take care of these. I'm not taking care of anybody.
Yep.
Like, you're draining our resources by sending people over here, and we're giving refuge to these people and that people.
Mm-hmm.
That's like his attitude. You're draining our resources. No, we don't need this. We don't need that. We got enough workers here.
Yep. Oh my God, that's crazy.
So like I said, man, it's all about business. It's nothing personal. But once again, it's about business. But listen, he says some crazy stuff out of his mouth because he don't know how to talk. He doesn't have to be proper. A politician has to be proper in what he says. He has to be diplomatic. Trump feels, I don't have to be diplomatic. I didn't come in this shift to be diplomatic or for diplomacy. Mm-hmm. I came in here to make money. And if I can help you along the way, then so be it. But I came in here to make money. And if you don't understand that, then we don't speak the same language, and you need to get punched in your face, because I don't get it. But this is what it is. This is what
that's
it is.
That's crazy. That no. is crazy. That's just like, wow, I can't.
You know
I can't,
what?
I don't
you know
why
it's crazy?
Like,
it's crazy because it's different. It's different. It's something that we have never seen or witnessed before. You know what I'm saying? Hello? Well, I think we have lost Big Red. And, I have lost Big Red. But, we got about 7 minutes left for the menu, so probably going to wind up wrapping it up at this point. But, hey, listen, everyone. I feel it's been a good topic tonight. I had to air some things out. And, you know, really express, you know, my true feelings on number 45 and his activities and some other activities. Like I said before, in the grand scheme of things, I really don't care, because at the start and end of the day, it doesn't really affect me per se. And a lot of times it really doesn't affect you unless you choose to make yourself a part of the propaganda, you know, or the craziness that exists. So all I can say is at this point is just live your life, take care of your families, and do what you need to do. And don't worry about everything else. Certain things you just got to put in the higher power's hand, and it will all fall into place. You know, he's doing him. Let me make the suggestion that you do you. And with that being said, it's another episode of The Menu in the Can. We'll catch you next Sunday. And everybody be well. Have a great week. It was Brother B and Big Red, who I guess got disconnected. Peace, y'all. Be easy. Later.